Mics are live.
Okay, we are now going to invite the public back into the meeting room. The minutes will show that the executive session was adjourned at 3 o'clock p.m. on 10/31/19. And again, the public has been invited to return to the meeting room, and we are now back in open session. And I believe we are going to take a short recess, and then we will reconvene in several minutes.
What time do you want to set a time?
How much time would you like, Commissioner?
10 minutes, 5?
Yeah, 3:10.
At 3:10, we will reconvene for the balance of the meeting.
Mics are live.
We are now reconvened. And Commissioner Fedorchak, anything further from you?
Nope.
Okay, Commissioner Christman, I will turn it over to you. I believe you have a motion.
I do. Only one item on my calendar. I move the commission file the report and recommendation of trustee with Pierce County District Court, together with the corresponding motion and support documents, in Midwest Grain Trading / Nodak Grain, Roving Grain Buyer / Grain Warehouse Insolvencies case number GE-18-395. And I further move that once the request and recommendation is approved by the district court, the compliance division director be authorized to take all actions necessary to pay all valid claims as soon as possible.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Actually, it wasn't seconded. I will second it now.
My apologies.
Okay, now we have a motion.
Now we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I do, Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Fedorchak, and I'm going to go through some things and just try and abbreviate what was 117 page, I think, recommendation here. If I accidentally mess up a number, it's the numbers in the recommendation that are accurate. But frankly, I'm a little emotional with this case. There's been a tragic crime committed, and a lot of people are going to lose a lot of money. And it breaks my heart. And we're assigned the task of trying to mop up here a little bit and do the best we can for the victims. But frankly, we only have the tools that are available to us, and they're not enough. They're not adequate, and the losses are going to be substantial. So the big reality that I want to emphasize is here that several criminal actions were brought against Hunter Hansen in various counties late last year. Prosecutors alleged that Hansen, through his companies, maintained multiple bank accounts, engaged in check kiting to cover his deposits and withdrawals. He laundered money between his bank accounts and other businesses, and often did not have sufficient funds in his bank accounts. He voluntarily pled guilty to wire fraud and money laundering and admitted the factual allegations. The sentencing is coming up next month. For our staff to process this has involved some enormous difficulties. It's not an easy case when someone has perpetrated crimes like this. The commission's efforts were hampered by several issues, including lack of proper record keeping by Hansen, withholding of records by Hansen, and operational problems at his warehouse at Roarville and Tunbridge. Records were in disarray and difficult to interpret and rely upon. Hansen used a number of banks, and many accounts were closed, with new accounts being opened at different banks before staff could obtain information from the first banks. This led to staff chasing bank records and obtaining bank records only to find the accounts had been closed. So on or about April 4th, of this year, of 2019, staff was informed that law enforcement had obtained a box of documents that Hansen had requested to be destroyed. The box of documents was not destroyed and was being held as evidence. Staff was able to obtain these documents on April 26th of this year. The records were much more relevant to staff's analysis of claims than the records previously obtained from Hansen or from his attorneys. So with respect to, and keep in mind, in the facilities case, he had two facilities, Tunbridge and Roarville. So with respect to Tunbridge, there was significant grain laying upon the ground at the site. The grain was rotted, and snow prevented staff from removing the grain from the facility without a lot of preparatory work at the site. With respect to Roarville, Hansen had abandoned the warehouse. The basement of the facility was inundated with water. The water in the basement had a layer of ice on top of it, and much of the electrical wiring associated with operating the facility was underwater. The leg boot pit that's used to remove grain from the bins was submerged, and there were electrical problems. So it was determined that using a grain vac involved significant time and expense and would likely damage the LOPs. That was the commodity that was in there. So staff estimated that repairing the facility, as expensive as it was, versus using the grain vac would result in a savings of approximately $100,000 more to the trust fund, because we could get more for the peas if we didn't run them through that vac. The commission determined to proceed with making the facility operational. Much more work for our staff again. But in all this, there's some highlights that I want to emphasize and thank our staff that are here, as well as Mr. McNamee, who's not here anymore, but worked diligently on this even after he had sought to retire, and we persuaded him to help us for a while. From those two facilities, we didn't take the easy way out and just sell to whoever'd come and pick it up. We sought bids. We got bids from multiple grain buyers. We sold to five different grain buyers to show how the effort that we made to find the best prices. We sold grain almost $186,000 worth from Tunbridge, and almost $346,000 from Roarville. So significant dollars that we're able to bring back into this trust fund. Our staff found that checkoffs were sometimes withheld when Mr. Hansen sold grain, and those should only be withheld on the first seller. And so those were inappropriate. They sought refunds and sought and received refunds from 13 different grain buyers, and that added up to an additional over $33,000. They recovered a $9,840 check from Mr. Hansen, who closed an account and sent it here. They discovered and recovered some potential bond premium refunds that he was owed, and got those into our trust funds. That was another $3,983. And they discovered three accounts receivable that were still owed to him at that point, accounting for almost $108,000, and we got that money. So our staff has discovered and recovered significant amounts of money here to help do the best we can for these producers. So now getting to our recommendation, the commission recommends that Hansen's operation, and this is, I want to emphasize, to me, this is the biggest first step, because he has Midwest Grain Trading, his roving grain buyer license, and Nodak Grain, which are these two facilities. And typically, they would be viewed separately. They're bonded separately. They make contracts or sell grain separately when people do things right. But the point I've been trying to make is he didn't do things normally or right or legally. So the commission recommends that Hansen's operation of Midwest Grain Trading and Nodak Grain be treated as one entity and one trust fund. Hansen transferred money between the businesses' accounts. He would enter contracts through Midwest Grain Trading and then accept delivery of the grain at the Nodak Grain, Tunbridge, or Roarville warehouses. He also issued check for payment on Midwest grain trading contracts through Nodak Grain bank accounts. Hansen used the two entities together in violation of federal wire fraud and money laundering laws. The federal charges and Hansen's guilty plea confirmed the interconnection of Hansen's affairs between these two licenses. There was literally no delineation by Hansen between his warehouse and the roving grain buyer businesses, which he used to perpetuate his crimes. And so that's why this recommendation to the court combines the two. With respect to credit sale contracts, and in this case, as I'll get to momentarily, people with credit sale contracts are going to do better in recovering their losses than people who don't have credit sale contracts. So with respect to those, the law requires any contract to be in writing and contain the notice provided in law. And part of the requirement is notice in a clear and prominent manner that the sale is not protected by the bond coverage. That requirement is one of the things that caused a lot of people who now, you know, would wish to argue that they have a valid credit sale contract, that they just don't. And the law is clear and it's been upheld in the courts. So we don't have a choice on that. We have to follow the law. Commodity checkoff assessments were another complicating issue. I touched on it a little bit. Hansen rarely, if ever, appropriately calculated and applied the checkoff assessment, but the checkoff assessment applies only to the first sale of grain, and where applicable, the commission has applied it to determine the net value of each claim. Many claimants, if he didn't withhold it, put in a claim for their total amount. We have reduced those claims by the amount of the checkoffs. So I'm not going to talk here about claims individually. I'll leave it to you to read the report, talk to our attorneys. I just don't think it's appropriate, but I'm going to make one exception to that. There have been a lot of questions about the validity of one particular claim, and that's East Central Grain Marketing, and that's the broker, if you don't recall. East Central Grain requested its claim not be considered unless all other claimants have been fully paid for their respective losses. I thought that should be pointed out. But either way, the commission recommends that East Central's grain regarding the loss of brokerage fees be denied. That being said, we are recommending 45 trust fund claims be deemed valid, totaling $7,371,837.06. The trust fund total is approximately $1,371,837.06, and that will be distributed proportionately. I think that, I guess I was going to calculate it out exactly. I think it's around 19%. This amount will vary slightly as interest is accruing, and by the time we get to court, more will have accrued. So at the end of the day, based on experience in past cases, the court will adjust this somewhat. We're also recommending 7 credit sale contract claims be deemed valid, totaling $836,913.12. By law, these claims qualify for payment from the indemnity fund of 80% up to $280,000. None of the 7 exceeded the cap. There are a couple that were fairly close, but none exceeded it. So the recommended payments for the 7 claims total $669,530.49, 80% of each of them. The district court hearing, I wish it were much sooner, but the courts are as busy as the courts are. And this was the earliest we could get in to Pierce County District Court. Is scheduled for June 16th through 18th of 2020. That concludes my comments, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any further comments? Are there any further discussion?
Well, I think Randy. Excuse me. I think Randy, you did a great job outlining it and some of the great work of our staff. And I want to echo those comments. It's been a long and painful process and an incredible amount of very detailed work. You guys, our staff had to be like investigators out there and going through reams upon reams, boxes upon boxes of paper, trying to recreate and reestablish what happened and verify the claims and come up with a fair recommendation to the courts on what is a really a case of an individual acting very unfairly. This is more than just a young guy that got a little bit ahead of himself, I think. There's just a pattern here of criminal activity and intentional harm, of him opening and closing accounts and even going so far as to try to destroy the documents that really were essential to try for us to try to make some sense of what had happened and try to clean up the losses. So, I mean, Hunter Hansen's a young guy. I hope he gets his life back in order after he pays his due on these crimes, if he's convicted. And then as it relates to this, you know, there just aren't enough resources to make people whole. And this is, there's so many different issues related to this. A lot of misunderstanding among producers about what kind of protections the state does provide. I think that goes to the heart of the problem here, and it's been something the commission has felt existed for as long as I've been on the commission, and we've taken a number of attempts to try to rectify that. I continue to believe that credit sale, the indemnity fund that applies to just the credit sale claimants, should be expanded to include all claimants in this industry. It's just too hard for people to keep track of what kind of coverage they have when, and they're big dollars here. And if the state is going to act like we have coverage, it should be somewhat sufficient to help address people's losses. And currently it isn't. So now the Ag Commissioner is working on that, and I wish him well. I hope he is able to have success with the legislature in coming up with some better protections for farmers, because this is wholly inadequate. And there's a lot of people that are losing a lot of money in this case. So I regret that. I think we've done our very best to get them as many dollars as possible. And hopefully there will be some new policy ideas moving forward to how to improve this program.
Is there any further discussion?
I think it's beyond unfortunate that it often takes a tragic event to occur before laws are rewritten. It's been stated that farmers currently have no level of protection when it comes to cash sales through the indemnity fund. Further, they're not even given the opportunity to make that decision on their own behalf. Government is making it for them, and that's wrong. It shouldn't be that way. Farmers are dealing with a lot this year. You have farmers across North Dakota dealing with wet conditions, crops they, in some instances, won't even be able to harvest, and those that they do harvest, they're receiving low commodity pricing for. It's an incredibly tough environment out there. And for the producers impacted by this insolvency, it's even worse. So I do hope the legislature takes this to heart and acts accordingly in the next session to provide a level of protection that producers can count on, and more importantly, make that business decision on their own rather than having it come from the halls of the state capitol in Bismarck.
Is there any further discussion?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I thought when I said it seemed odd that two numbers both ended in 06. So I want to correct already one number that I misstated. I said that the total claims on the trust fund were $7,371,000 plus, but the total claims on the trust fund are $7,247,469.07. I transposed two numbers there.
Thank you for clearing that up, because I was confused. I was looking at my numbers going.
That's what happens when emotions get the best of you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Is there any other business that should come before the commission at this point in time? Seeing none, this meeting is adjourned.
Did you want to stand in recess and take some questions?
We can close the meeting since we don't have to continue on to an administrative portion in this particular case. So we will simply adjourn, and then we can take questions from the press. We are adjourned. I was just